Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is To Be Continued. And there's not much more irritating to me than to watch some show and I didn't catch when I turned it on. And you get to the end of it at about 10 o'clock and they flash something on the screen, but one of the best parts in the whole movie, To Be Continued. And they leave you hanging. And of course, what they're doing is you got to come back the next night and maybe the next night and the next night. And it's frustrating if you can't be there the next night because you never know how it ends up. And it seems to me, in talking to people and from my own experience, that there are a lot of people that wish this thing would just come to a head, that it would just be over, that it would just finish. And you go through a whole day and you try to do the right thing. You wake up and you say, okay, God, I've got everything I think I'm supposed to do. I'm reading the scriptures. I'm praying. I'm doing the right thing with my money. I'm spending it wisely. I'm giving a portion to you like I'm supposed to. I'm doing everything right. And you get to the end of the day, you go to sleep, and then you wake up the next day and you find out it's to be continued. And you're not in heaven, and all the stress is not gone, and the people are still there, the problems are still there, the job's still there, that boss is still there, everything is still there, and you've got to go on. And it's interesting to me to talk to people and discover, especially not new Christians, but not brand new Christians, because you can understand there's going to be some challenge there, but young Christians, kind of the 1 to 6-year-old Christians, not in terms of years, but in terms of spirituality, there's a tendency to be all on fire and excited, and that goes for a while, and then they hit a wall, and they stop and give up and get frustrated and get emotional and get all bothered about some situation, and you think, well, they quit. And you have to be patient with them and encourage them and help them to keep going, because it's to be continued, and it's not easy. And one of the recurring themes that comes through my mind in dealing as a pastor with people, with you all especially, is that you cannot give up. You've got to get it in your head that if you die today, it's going to be over. Or if Jesus comes back today, it's going to be over. But if neither one of those happen, you got to keep running the race. And you've got to persevere, and you've got to be consistent. And you've got to do it not alone, but with other people. And I want to read some stuff today out of Acts chapter 2. And this story that I'm reading out of Acts chapter 2, it happens about 40 or 50 days, about 50 days after Jesus has ascended into heaven. He's been on the planet for 33 years. He died, was buried, raised from the dead, and he appeared and disappeared for a period of about 40 days. And then he went into heaven, and then a few days later, the Holy Spirit comes, and all heaven breaks loose on the church. The church is literally born, and there's about 120 people who are in an upper room praying. The Spirit of God falls on these people and some miraculous things happen. They start speaking in other languages. It would be like me standing here and all of a sudden, eu começo a falar em português e você não entende nada do que eu estou dizendo. E se você fala português, você entende o que eu estou dizendo, mas se não fala português, parece que estou dizendo nada. It'd be like that. So, now what just happened? Some of you are like, oh my gosh, it's a charismatic church and there's nobody interpreting. We're in big trouble. I speak fluent Portuguese and English, and you see, that would mean nothing. But if all of a sudden everyone in here, let's say you were all Brazilians or from Portugal, and I was speaking in English, and all of a sudden you spoke no English and I spoke no Portuguese, and everything I said you heard in Portuguese, now that'd get your attention. And what happened here is these men began to speak, and everybody heard, not in just in a different language, but it says they heard in their own dialect. So if they were from India, let's say, and from a particular part of India where it wasn't, they were not speaking a national language, they were speaking a local dialect, the miracle was they heard it even in that local dialect. It's not gibberish. It's not unintelligible conversation. It is words that someone understood, and it was the gospel. It was the power of God manifest, and these people heard it. And they heard this, and then Peter, and I recommend usually that you go read everything around this. If you start back in chapter 1 sometime today or this week and just keep reading the book of Acts, if you're not locked in, I don't recommend that you just drop your Bible open and start reading somewhere. Pick a book and read through it. And Acts is a great book to see what happened when the church was born and how it unfolded. And in Acts chapter 1 and 2, you see that. The Holy Spirit comes in chapter 2, and Peter gets up and preaches a powerful message. He's got thousands of people standing there listening to him, and he hammers them pretty hard. Let's pick up in chapter 2. Let's start with verse 32. Chapter 2, verse 32. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we all are witnesses, therefore being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now look at what happens to verse 37. And if you've ever wondered what happens to you, people don't understand, whether it's Billy Graham on the television or someone in a service like this, or you're listening to a tape in your car or whatever it is, you're riding along or just sitting there and you hear someone talk about Jesus. The fact that he lived a perfect life, he died on the cross, he shed his blood, was buried and raised from the dead. You hear that and all of a sudden something inside you goes, oh my gosh, that's what I've been looking for all my life. Something about it says that is truth. And there are a lot of people out there who don't like what's coming out of this book and coming out of my mouth, because it is cut to the chase gospel, and we're not backing down. If you don't like it, there's plenty of places that have some kind of watered down version of this. For something to be true, everything cannot be truth. You say, but that's very narrow-minded. And what I'll repeat is I always say, I didn't write this stuff. I just work here. And until somebody gives me another book to read from, we're going to read out of here. And this one says it's about Jesus. And these guys got up, Peter stood up, and these are mostly Jews listening to him, and he says, look, let's read it. He says, you, this Jesus, whom you crucified, verse 36, God has made Lord and Christ. He is the Lord, he's the boss, he is Christ, he is the Messiah. There is no other way. There is nobody else. Now look what happens in verse 37, and this is what happens to people every day of the week all over the planet have ever since Jesus came and died and was buried and raised from the dead. Verse 37, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what do we do? And there are people every day, everywhere you go, where you work, your neighbors, you know what they're saying? We know something's wrong. And I've heard the gospel. I've seen the truth in your own life. What do I do? And nobody will tell them. Nobody will cut to the chase. Nobody will say, have you ever felt this way? There's part of me that says to people with a past, forget your past. Don't think about it. Leave it where it is. But there's another part of me that says, never forget your past. Think back about how you felt before you knew Christ, before you had a relationship with God, what your life was like, how you lived, the behavior, the feelings, the emptiness. Don't ever forget that, because you get Jesus, and what happens is the devil says, well, great, you want to get Jesus, then what we're going to do is put all you Jesus people in a box somewhere for a few hours every week, and you can do whatever you want to do in that box, but when you come back out of the box, you leave my bunch alone. And so we have such a great time, we're all friendly and fun, and we encourage one another, and then we get back out there and we forget that there are people who feel just like we felt. People who have the same needs we have, that have the same emptiness, and they're wondering why somebody with the answers won't open their mouth and say, look, I'm ready to give a reason for the hope that's within me. I'm not going to shove it down your throat. I'm going to share with you what Jesus has done for me and the difference he's made in my life. They are seeking. These people stood and listened to Peter go at him, and then they said, what do we do? And verse 38, then Peter said to them, repent. Now, you know, hellfire, brimstone preachers and all, you know, they scream this word repent, and you go, what the heck is that? Repent is a very simple word that means to change your mind. And God says to me, to you, to Christians, to non-believers, you've got to change your mind. You've got to stop saying what you say is right and start saying what God says is right. That is repentance. And you say, well, I can sleep with my girlfriend if I want to. I don't care what God says. And he says, you know what? You need to change your mind, because that's not right. You need to repent and say, God, what I'm doing is wrong. What I'm saying is wrong. What you say is right, and it's best for me. So I'm going to repent. I'm going to change my mind. And instead of doing what I say, I'm going to do what you say. Or some people say, well, I'm a good person, and I think that's going to get me into heaven. That's not what the book says. It says it's by grace through faith. That's how you get into heaven. And it's not of any of your doing, your works. It's him. It's a gift. So you stop believing what you say, that your ticket you've written to heaven, and you say, God, what I've been saying is wrong. What you say is right. I've changed my mind. I'm going to say what you say and agree with what you say and do this. That's repentance. So he says, repent to them. That's what you need to do. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He says, repent, be baptized, you'll have the Holy Spirit. Simple stuff. And I've said this before, and we're about to go back down to the pool and do it again because we have some new believers that need to be baptized. Guys, if you got baptized before you repented, you need to be baptized. Not again, but for the first time. Anybody can get wet. And this is not an optional deal. And if you've never been baptized, you need to be baptized. You say, well, it's just some ceremonial thing. Yeah, well, try to tell some girl you're dating you don't want to go through some ceremonial thing like marriage. You just want to be friends the rest of your life. It doesn't work there either. Some things are not ceremonial things. They're important. They're vital in the relationship. It's not that you'll die and go to hell without being baptized. It's just you're not walking in obedience. And you need to do that. Here they did, and you'll see in a minute, 3,000 of them did it. You'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, 39. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. On a single day, in a single moment, 3,000 people received the gift of eternal life, and their lives were changed, they were baptized, and the church went from about 120 or so that were right there to 3,120 just like that. Now, this is where I want to focus, on verses 42 and following. And really, it's about the first three words in my translation of chapter 2, verse 42. All this has happened, all this miraculous stuff, the languages, being able to understand it, Peter preaching, they say, what do we do? He says, repent, be baptized, you'll receive the Holy Spirit. They gladly received it. It's miraculous, it's unbelievable. But then the first three words of verse 42 say what? And they continued. It's not enough to start. You have got to finish. You've got to continue. And that takes commitment. It takes consistency. One of the nightmares of churches is that people show up, get all excited, and want to do the God thing, and they're all just, wow, the fluff and the fun, and isn't this great? And then the long stretch kicks in. The long cross-country part of the road kicks in. They go, this isn't fun anymore. And now they're asking me to do stuff, and I got to get involved, and I got to be there, and I got to commit, and this is starting to feel like work. And they want me to do something consistently and show up and be a part of a community. I can't just watch anymore. I got to participate. And I'm going to tell you what, guys, there are days you don't want to participate. There are days I don't want to participate. There are days I don't feel like it. Let me tell you something. It's like being a father, a husband, an employee. If you didn't go to work every day, you don't feel like going to work. You'd be without a job because they'd fire you. There is a long haul. There is a great excitement along the way, but there's a part of Christianity that is to be continued. It is just day after day after day. And some days you just say, you know what, God, I don't feel like doing the right thing today. I'm not having fun. I used to have fun. And see, the devil brings back you all the memories of how much fun you used to have before you knew him. And it's just the pleasure. It's very interesting to me, the devil, what a snake he is. He will remind you of the pleasure, but he never shows you the pain that followed the pleasure. He just waits till he sucks you back into the old activity and behavior and you have your fun. Then he smacks you with the consequence. He baits, he hooks and baits you, pulls you in, and then he snaps the trap on you and goes, gotcha. And then you feel like a heel and you go through this whole process. He says, oh, you're a worthless scumbag. Now you'll never get back. God won't have you. It's going to take you 2 months to get back to God and go crawling. And, you know, you go up and down, up and down. And God wants us to just continue, to continue steadfastly. There's a place that talks about that word. You say, but I'm tired of doing the right thing. Has doing the wrong thing worked out for you? No. So what are your options? You got to wake up every day and start over and say, Father, I'm checking back in. I'm here. I thank you for keeping me through the night. I'm alive on another day, and I'm not going to make it today without you. I love days when you go outside and it's cloudy, overcast, dark clouds. You know why? Because it's going to rain. And the thing that we love lush vegetation, flowers, and a beautiful sunny day. You know what? You don't get that without dark, cloudy days where it rains and feeds those plants that are green so when the sun comes out again, you can enjoy them. You can't have it both ways. I mean, if you live in California, maybe, but that's just California. You've got to have both. And some days are not fun. Sometimes the stretch of the road is hard. It's tough. It's lonely. But you say, God, I got nowhere else to go. I'm going to stick with you because you stick with me and there's no better way. And he says, they continued, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in what? In the apostles' doctrine. That word just means teaching, what they were teaching them. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, what they were taught, and in fellowship. Now, a fellowship is really a Christian word. I mean, a Bible word. I mean, you get a fellowship at some college maybe, or a professor may get a fellowship. But this fellowship thing, people don't get. Be careful throwing that word around out there, because people who don't do the God thing or church, like, what is a fellowship? You know, what is the fellowship of believers? It simply means community. It's a body. And if you're going to be a part of a fellowship or have fellowship, you've got to be with people. You cannot have fellowship alone. And I reiterate this over and over and over again. There are people out there who want to be Christians and do it like the movies. You want to go and watch. You don't want to get involved. You want no accountability. You don't want anybody knowing what you're doing, where you're going, what you're involved with. You want to come smorgasbord, take a little bite, eat what you want, and then walk away. Give a little money and say, well, I guess I've done my deal. Who knows you? Who knows your secret sins? Who knows what you're really doing throughout the whole week? Who knows you're going to strip joints? Who knows you got a problem with food and it's killing you, bulimia, whatever it may be. Who knows what your problem is? And you say, well, why is my life not getting any better? And why is there not any encouragement? And why is it that God didn't help me? He put something in place to help you, and it's called the church. It's called the body. It has fellowship. It's a community of people that work together and live together and move together and encourage one another. You say, well, I don't want to get involved with anybody. Then you're going to have a hard time being a part of the church. Because you can't be church and not be involved with other people. You say, well, I don't like those people. I've been hurt by people. You're going to get hurt. Till you get to heaven, you are going to get hurt. And one of the greatest challenges with church is people. Verse 42 again. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They were taught and they listened to it. The fellowship. They were a community. They were together. And in the breaking of bread, and this not just that they ate together, but it specifically refers to the word bread. It implies this whole thing of the Lord's Supper, that they were together in that even, and in prayers. They listened to what they were taught scripturally. They were a body. They were a community of people. They ate together, partook to remember what Jesus had done with them, and they prayed together. Verse 43, then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together. Look at these words. Verse 42, they continued steadfastly. Verse 44, the ones who believed were together. They were together. They were together. And I don't know how many times I'm going to have to say this. You've got to stay together. There are people out there, there are Christians who are just arrogant. You know any of these arrogant Christians? They stay to themselves, they don't need anybody. You know what? You don't need anybody till you need somebody. And then there's nobody because you never needed anybody. And you're by yourself and you say, God, why have you left me? Why is there no one to help me? Because you figured out a way to make it that way. And it's the saddest thing to see arrogant, prideful, distant, aloof, Christians who just seclude themselves and stay alone and say, well, I don't want to be. Let me tell you something. I can't find any kind of person I don't want to be involved with. Last week, a homeless man walked in here. Let me tell you something. I keep saying this. The day they're not welcome, neither am I. And when somebody walks through these doors that you say, well, that's not my kind of person, then I don't know who you are or who you think Jesus is, but everybody is his kind of person. You say, well, I'm going to hug that person and I'm going to smell like they do. Well, if that's what it takes, then go to smelling. You say, well, I really need a church where there's, you know, people like me. Well, God have mercy. If you're like that and you get a whole room full of you really are in trouble. See, if I knew everything about you, I could probably find out something about you that I'd say, you know, you look pretty good and smell all right, but man, I wouldn't spend 15 seconds with you. You're a flake. You're a piece of work. We all are. We all got stuff. And these people were together. They were together. They were together. You know, I go over and over this, and I'm trying to reach out to those of you who don't want to be together. You'll gather for a little while on a Sunday, but you don't want to be together. And you've got all the reasons in the world. I got a letter somebody sent me about how things had happened in this person's life. They had done the God thing, totally committed. They felt like God had left them, pulled away, and they left. They didn't pray. They didn't go to church, anything. And somehow, through this church specifically, they got back in, they eased back in, and they're back together with other people in spite of the pain, in spite of the hurt, no matter what some preacher or some church person done, and everybody everywhere can probably come up with something that's happened to you in some church where you should just flush the whole deal. But that's not an option. You got nothing else. He left the church on the planet, and in spite of the problems and in spite of the people, you've got to figure out how to make it work. People who observe it go, there's no way they're doing this without God. And he gets all the glory, because you can't do it without him. You can't love one another without him. And that, it says, is why they know that we're his followers, because we love one another. Now look what keeps happening here. And they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. It went beyond words, and it went to sharing your literally what you have. And I got to tell you, I haven't seen anything like this bunch in this regard. When there is a need, you guys respond. And if it takes selling something you have to help somebody else, it happens. And guys, that's what is unexplainable to the world, when you will go beyond, above and beyond what is expected of you, and do the unbelievable. And that's to physically, financially help someone. We're not building any buildings. Everybody knows that. And the money that comes in ought to go to helping people who are in need. And we got some accountability in place to make sure we're not just doling out money to people who are lazy. Because the same book that says help one another says if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. But when people are in need, this bunch responds. And that's what the world doesn't see and doesn't have and makes such a huge difference. These people continued steadfastly. They were together. They kept going. And you will not keep going alone.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. Or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
All right, let's pray. And our Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the things that happened long ago that still are the same principles today. Father, there are people under the sound of my voice in this room, some beyond this room, who know in their hearts they have got to get plugged in. They've got to get involved. They're going to quit. They already have quit. They're not going to make it alone. They've gotten sucked into all kind of sin. They've been deceived by the enemy. They're too embarrassed or proud to go back. And Father, they need to find a place and a people, a community, a fellowship of believers that can help them and encourage them and challenge them, where they can get connected with people who aren't like them, but who love them and care enough to speak the truth in love and help them along the way. I pray for those who are isolated and on the verge of giving up or already have, Lord, that you would bring them back in, that you would get them involved with a godly group of believers who can help them be accountable and encourage and challenge them. And Lord, for those believers who know the right thing and are doing the right thing and on the verge of giving up, they just can't take it anymore, God. It seems like everybody's having a great time, having fun around them. They're getting left out. Father, I pray that you would give them the strength, the courage, that we as a body would encourage them and notice when somebody's going down and help them back up, understanding that next time it may be us and we're the ones that'll need the encouragement and the challenge and the strength to go on. And Lord, beyond these groups that I've mentioned, I pray, Lord, for the individuals who something is just missing. Something is wrong. There's a hole in their heart that nothing they've ever tried is filled. No matter how much money, no matter what kind of relationships or how many, no matter how much pleasure, possessions, whatever they've tried, God, nothing seems to fill that emptiness. And I pray today, Father, as you did back on this day that we read about, that you would cut them to the heart, lay them open, and show them that that emptiness can only be filled by a person, and that is Jesus Christ, and a personal relationship with him that is established by understanding that we need to admit that we are sinners, that we are not good, Father, innately, we are not good, and we have done wrong, and we need your forgiveness. We repent, we change our mind, we acknowledge that what you say is right, what we say is wrong, and we agree with you, Father, that something's got to change. And we claim the forgiveness that Jesus died, was buried, and raised from the dead to offer, that blood that was shed to wash us clean, and reach out the hands of our heart, Lord, and receive that gift of eternal life that you offer so freely as a gift. Father, I pray that lives will be changed today. Father, I thank you for what's happening in hearts and lives, and I pray it all in Jesus' name who makes it possible. Amen.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program: to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.